inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, filling in for Walker Wildman today. I know you're probably disappointed. It's Wednesday. You're expecting to hear Walker's voice, and then here I come, just dropping into your living room or your car or wherever you're listening. You know, just like a bomb out of midair. So sorry about that, but hey, you know, you're kind of used to it from Tuesdays and Thursdays. So normally Walker's with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'm with you Tuesdays, Thursdays, but this week you're stuck with me on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all three. So sorry about that, but you know, life's tough. Go to Florida, have a dub bar, get over it, and move on. Okay, we're going to have a good time today. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls as soon as we can as well. Love to hear from you, your comments, questions, insults, whatever you got on whatever topic. Today's a free-for-all, folks, so you might have something that you've been watching, you know, on the political spectrum or spiritual spectrum, and you want to chat about it, or you got a question, or you just want to make a comment. That's okay, too. So feel free to call in 888-589-8840. I'm a little distracted. As I mentioned yesterday, I'm in Indiana. We're in Franklin, Indiana. So sorry for those of you watching online. Yes, it still looks like a hostage shot, but Al-Qaeda does not have me kidnapped. I'm just actually in my room where I'm staying in Indiana because we're doing this really, really cool thing here. And if you've never heard of the Mark Adams School, you need to check it out. MarkAdams.com and come to one of his programs. He's got like, I don't know, he does about 100 different schools a year. When I say school, it's a one-week program on any kind of arts and crafts kind of thing you want to do. You want to learn woodworking or a specialized area of woodworking, glass blowing, ironworks, leatherworks, you name it, this guy does it. And he and Susie, his wife, are just incredible. It's impossible to explain. I was just talking to him and walking through the facility saying, I don't know how to explain what he does. He's like an orchestra conductor as he's got all of these different buildings and all of this equipment is amazing. And you walk through this place and you see every kind of craft that you can imagine with the best of the best making all of these cool things. And so for this week, he's essentially shut down his facility for us. Every building, every table, every, you know, part of this amazing place that he's got is making something for Independence Hall, for Patriot Academy. So this is the week that we're making all of the interior. And I wish I could show you video. It's just remarkable. And I went live on Facebook yesterday, excuse me, and showed a little bit, just a tiny, tiny, like two of the buildings of what they're doing. So just imagine, just for a second, just imagine the chandeliers in Independence Hall. We're making them. We're making them right here at the Mark Adams School. Imagine the Windsor chairs, the really cool Revolutionary Period Windsor chairs. We're making them. We're going to have 56 of those suckers in a truck on Saturday afternoon when we get done this week, hauling them back to Texas to go to the campus to go into Independence Hall. The tables, you know, you've seen those iconic photos, or if you've taken my Constitution class, I'm actually in the room in Independence Hall. You've seen the tables there with the green tablecloths. Well, we're not only making the tables, which are just remarkable by themselves. They don't even need to have tablecloths the way these guys are making them. But we're also making the tablecloths, the green tablecloths, to go over the tables. I was just with the group that's doing all the sewing this morning, and they've cut those things out where you can sit comfortably at the table, and they're hemmed at the corners to where they don't move. I mean, they're just the attention to detail is remarkable. And get this, they're making the paneling to go around the room, all the way around the assembly room there where the Declaration and the Constitution were done. All of that is getting made this week. And the doors and I mean, Washington's chair, probably the most iconic part of the whole room. I believe if I remember right, I mean, I've taught in Independence Hall many, 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 many times. And I think if I remember right, the only actual original piece is Washington's chair in terms of the furniture. There's a couple original pieces on the tables. I think it's, it wasn't Franklin. I think it was actually Jefferson's got a cane. Not that he needed it to walk, but it's more of a stylistic thing that's in there. I think it was his. I can't remember. And then somebody's spectacles. I want to say it was maybe James Wilson's spectacles. So it's not like the movie. You know, everybody's seen National Treasure with Nicolas Cage. You're not going to go, you know, remove a brick from a corner of Independence Hall and find his, you know, Ben Franklin's spectacles to discover some secret coded message on the back of the Declaration. But as I always tell people when I'm teaching at Independence Hall, we are going to find a secret coded message on the front side of the Declaration of Independence, but it's right there in plain sight. It's actually the Declaration itself and the language Jefferson used, and that those 56 men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to. That secret message is actually not secret. It's right there. It's kind of, it feels like it's secret because people have ignored it for so long, but we're going to bring it to life. And that's why we're here at the Mark Adams School, is to build Independence Hall. This week, we're building all of the interior for the assembly room, and allow people, you that are listening right now, allow you to come to the Patriot Academy campus, walk into Independence Hall, the replica, sit in the chairs in the assembly room, and learn about the Declaration and the Constitution. And so those principles in the Declaration are what we were just listening right before I came on air to that interview about John Quincy Adams and John Adams and Abigail and the whole family. And John Quincy Adams called it the slab, the foundation, actually. I don't think he used the word slab. I think he used the word foundation, that the home of the Constitution is built upon. So you have to have the Declaration in order to have the Constitution. You have to have the principles of the Declaration in order for the Constitution to stand strong. And so we're going to bring both of those documents to life at Independence Hall, at the Patriot Academy campus. And this this woodwork and all the things we're building this week, is you're going to enjoy it. It's what you're going to enjoy when you come to the Patriot Academy campus someday and visit our campus and go through a Constitution class right there in Independence Hall. So I'm having the time of my life. I'm telling you, these folks that have come in from all over the nation to be a part of this, they're you know, most of them had never done anything like this. They're not you know, expert woodworkers, but we have the expert woodworkers. I'm talking the people that make White House furniture and all kinds of cool stuff. They're the ones actually teaching people this week and overseeing the making of these chairs and tables and paneling and chandeliers and everything else. And everybody else, we got over 100 people that have come and made a donation to Patriot Academy. The guy that's Mark Adams is not even taking any money this week. He's literally providing all of the wood, all of the materials, all of the equipment, all of the facility, and then what people would normally pay him to be here for the week, he's letting all that money go to Patriot Academy as a donation. So I'm just, you know, over the top right now. Just as I said yesterday, my heart is full, and we are just significantly enjoying this. So do me a favor, check out markadams.com and consider going to one of his other programs, or maybe, you know, we may do another one of these. Who knows? I might talk him into doing another one of the, I didn't ask him to do this. He actually came to us. He came to our graduation and watched what we're doing with Patriot Academy, and he had the idea to say, hey, we can make all of that stuff and give you a cool fundraiser as well, raise you some decent money, and make everything that you need. So it's a really, really, really cool place. So markadams.com, and I'm telling you, I'm talking, you know, you name it. You may want to do some sort of woodworking thing. You may want to do chairs. You may want to do iron or glass or whatever. Any of those areas, he does it. And it's all throughout the year. So he's, I think he starts, his first one is in April, and they go all through maybe October, November. I can't remember the exact calendar, but just cool, cool stuff. MarkAdams.com is the website to check out. And we'll see if we do another one of these for Patriot Academy. Maybe you can come out and do one where we're making stuff for another room at Independence Hall or maybe one of our other buildings. Okay, so we're going to get to the headlines in our second and third segment. Love to get to your phone calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we'll just go ahead and take a call. Let's see. Let's go to Pam in Texas. Pam, well, I don't usually do this in first segment, but I'm so excited about all the stuff we're making that, you know, there's no telling what I might do. Go ahead. You're up first, Pam.
Hi. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yes. Thanks for calling.
Listen to you daily. Yes, it's my privilege to speak with you. Since today is a free-for-all, I just thought I would throw a question out there that I've had in my mind for quite some time. I've heard many AFR hosts on various programs speaking of leftist leaders in state government, assuming that people in those areas voted for them, saying, well, they voted for them. But with so much proven fraud in our elections, what makes them think that we, the people, voted for those in power in those quote-unquote blue cities and quote-unquote blue states?
Well, it's a great question, Pam, and I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's some places where the people really did vote for those type of leaders. They fell for the fluffy speeches and the promises, and because of a lack of civics, thought that that would be a proper role for government, and so they supported it and voted for it. And I think California and Massachusetts and some of those places, Seattle, pretty clear. But then there's other places where it's more of it's not a leftist or liberal dominating voting population. It's really kind of 50-50. And I think in those places, it's very likely that what you're talking about is right, where shenanigans and manipulation of the process and even just stacking the deck early on with where the polling places are going to be and that sort of thing has put a lot of people that aren't leftist under leftist leadership. And just like you're describing, they don't want to be, and they didn't vote for it, but they're stuck there. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I get a lot of questions. I do a lot of constitution classes out in places like Seattle and all over California. Massachusetts was just there. And people ask me, like, what can we do? We feel like we're so outnumbered. And the answer I always give to those people is, well, I can't hear God for you. You've got to decide, is God telling you to stay here and fight to turn this place around that it feels like you're behind enemy lines, feels like you're outnumbered to the point you can't get there? Or is he calling you to move to a redder area where you can help bolster that area and make it stronger? And for different people, it's different. And for some people, they have moved out of those areas and gone to redder places, and other people have stayed and fought, and they're starting to turn it. I feel the tide turning even in places like Seattle, even with all that they've got going on right now with this craziness. So I would say, Pam, it's mixed. And I guess the answer to that long term and maybe broader for wherever you are and whatever your situation is to be faithful where God's planted you, continue to fight like a John Quincy Adams, who fought for 17 years in Congress without ever seeing an end to slavery or even seeing any real progress on what he was trying to get done. Keep fighting wherever you are. And if God calls you to move and make sure it's a clear call, right? Like, don't, you know, I've had this challenge my whole life is making sure I'm in his perfect will, where he really wants me right now for this fight. I'm not living on last year's manna. I'm not jumping the gun and just going based on emotion. So if he called you to where you are now, continue to be faithful where you've been planted, continue to be aggressive and put your life, fortune, sacred honor in and do those things, and just continue to ask God if there's a time to move and a time to go to a new chapter. And it's going to be different for different people. And I don't think we're going to win every battle this side of heaven. I don't think all of America is going to become the shining city on a hill again. I think we can overall become the shining city on a hill again. Our national government, our federal government, can once again reflect those values. And I think Trump's doing a lot to get us there. But there's going to be pockets around the country that seem pretty hopeless. I mean, it's just going to be, we're going to live with the consequence of our bad decisions. And those areas where people, where the church checked out, where the, you know, the good people didn't influence what was going on, didn't stay engaged, folks, it's going to take some time to turn that around. And the consequence of the bad decisions for decades and decades and decades, where the church just sort of removed itself from the equation, we're going to have to wade through that pain, and we're going to, it's going to take time to turn those things around. So that's probably not just the Pollyanna good news, you know, everything's going to be okay answer that some people might be looking for, but it's just truth. It's just part of it. And so that's why John Quincy Adams is a perfect sort of theme for today. Duty is ours. Results are God's. We do our duty regardless of the results. We continue to be faithful wherever we are, whatever garden we've been planted in, and whatever the political structure is there. We stay involved. We push. I mean, he didn't just go home and say, well, somebody else will take care of it. He stayed there till he was dead. He literally had a stroke right there in Congress, right on the floor of Congress, dies in the speaker's office 3 days later, never seen an end to slavery. But he passed the torch. He taught the next generation. He inspired others like Abraham Lincoln to step up to the fight. And that's why that few critical months where they served together in Congress, I think, was a pivotal training ground for Lincoln to be able to come back and do what John Quincy Adams had hoped to do in terms of a three-step plan to end slavery. So getting in the weeds a little bit there, but all that to say, wherever you are, be faithful. Duty is ours. Results are God's. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. We'll be right back. Phone number 888-589-8840.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. It's Wednesday. Normally, Walker Wildman with you today, but I'm filling in for Walker, and I'll still be with you tomorrow as well. So 3 days in a row. I think we did that last week, too. One of those days, Walker and I doing the program together. We're going to try to do that a little bit more often when we can. We really enjoyed that, and hope you did as well. Phone number today is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. For those of you watching online, my hostage camera shot here is my room in, I'm saying in Franklin, Indiana. We're at the Mark Adams School, and it is remarkable. I wish I could go live from the school over there, but the woodworking and everything and the machinery, it's so loud, I just decided not to do it. I wanted to do it with everything in the background so y'all could see it. It's impossible to describe what's happening here. It's literally room after room after room after room of incredible equipment and just masterful. I mean literally the masters of design and woodworking and ironworks and glassblowing and all of that, the best of the best from around the world have gathered here this week to build Independence Hall for us, the interior of Independence Hall, and then we still got to build the actual building in Fredericksburg, Texas. If you want to be a part of that, go to patriotacademy.com, and you can learn more. But do check out markadams.com and come out here and have the time of your life just learning some skill. And actually, what's cool is you can usually end up making something that's going to be like an heirloom that you can pass to your kids and grandkids. In our case this week, everybody's making these things that for decades and decades, hopefully centuries, should the Lord tarry, will be used at Patriot Academy at Independence Hall, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people will come through there, sit in that chair, sit at that table, walk through that Independence Hall, and learn the biblical foundations of America and where we came from as a nation and what the Declaration of Independence actually says and what it's all about. As we're, you know, in the next year or so, it's probably the best focus on the Declaration that we'll see in our lifetimes. The 250th coming up, great opportunity to teach people what the Declaration actually says, what these principles actually mean. All right, let's go back to the phones, 888-589-8840. Next up in the queue is Kevin in Arkansas. Go Hogs, go. Kevin, you're up next.
Greetings and blessings to all. The term,
and to you, brother.
Manifest destiny. Yeah. The term manifest destiny.
Yeah.
Who coined it, or did they, and what did it mean to them, or he or she, or whoever? What? How did that come about, and what does it mean?
Well, good question. It's kind of one of those terms that I don't think ever really was, you know, academically or scholastically, I should, you know, whatever the right word is there, ever really defined well, or could be attributed to any one particular person that I know of. I think it was more of a philosophy frankly from the beginning. I mean, it kind of, you know, initially it was the city on a hill mindset that John Winthrop talked about. It was the you know, even Thomas Paine, whenever he did his writings, that, you know, we say Washington, it was the sword of Washington and the pen of Thomas Paine that won the war. It was that mindset of, we can do this in a way that's never been done before, that God has destined the continent of the Americas and the nation of the United States to be something really, really special, and destined this form of government and this economic system and these people to use this land to be a blessing to the rest of the world. So not only to have the 13 colonies, but to expand westward, for instance, or to to expand even you could even fast forward. I mean, of course, de Tocqueville kind of jumps on that in Democracy in America, and talks about the fact that it was a multi-volume set, but he talked about the fact, this is where we get the concept of exceptionalism, American exceptionalism, and he said that the Americans are, I'm not going to quote this exactly right, but he basically said, in an exceptional position to do something that no people have ever had the opportunity to do before, and maybe never again, that this is just an exceptional moment in time with an exceptional political system and an exceptional, people because of not only the political, but the biblical foundations, because of the spiritual, you know, the fact that Americans are great because they're good. All of that comes from that manifest destiny mindset. And that gets a lot of attack today. And I think part of it's because because it wasn't really a one person came up with this idea and defined it and said, here's exactly what we mean, because it was sort of morphed over time, like anything else, you had people that misused it and even made that argument to support slavery or to oppose slavery, made that argument to expand westward or to say we shouldn't expand westward, made that, you know, manifest destiny argument to say it should be the way we should treat the Indians should be this way or it should be that way. So it sort of became it would morph into whatever that person wanted to use it for their cause. So I'm not saying it's good or bad. I think definitely American exceptionalism is real and is good, and definitely the expansion to the West and even the American mindset of being a blessing to the world. I mean, think about it. We saved the world from Nazism, from communism, from despotism. We sacrificed our own in order to expand freedom to people around the world. I mean, that is a manifest destiny mindset. And I think we're probably nearing the end of the effort to make America evil and argue that manifest destiny is evil or that American exceptionalism is evil. That's been the poison of cultural Marxism that's been poured into the education system for the last 40 or 50 years, really on the heels of Vietnam. That was the turning point to where now manifest destiny was evil and American exceptionalism is evil and America exporting its ideas is evil. And because they controlled the education system, because the Marxists and the leftists controlled the education system, they were able to take that and teach multiple generations that. And so you've got a lot of people in America, when they hear manifest destiny or they hear American exceptionalism or any of that, they're triggered. They actually think that that's an evil thing, that it's wrong, that somehow, because some Yahoo somewhere in history used those terms to argue for slavery or used those terms to argue for taking away Indian land or whatever, because of a bad actor somewhere in history using those terms, they then associate that evil to the terms. And that's just bad history. I mean, that's bad, you know, just not being very smart and looking at the whole field, looking at the whole chessboard and recognizing the good and bad uses of those terms. What I would argue is that no matter what you call it, no matter what the terms are, the data doesn't lie. And no matter what you what part of American history you try to pick out and call good or evil, you should take it in its totality. It's why we always say at Wall Builders and Patriot Academy, the good, the bad, and the ugly. That's why we teach from that perspective. We say we're not going to hide anything. We're not going to gloss over the evil, or we're not going to gloss over the bad or the ugly. But we are going to emphasize the good because, on balance, there's no question that it does outweigh the bad and the ugly. There's no question. There's zero doubt if you actually are honest, intellectually honest about your study of American history, that the American story in its totality is by far, like there's not even a close second, is by far the greatest story of a nation in the history of mankind. I mean, I guess a close second could be the children of Israel, and we clearly are in many ways we model that and we learn from that because of the similar foundations, because of the Judeo-Christian foundation of the country. Clearly, our story is going to end up being very similar because you have the same principles and values being taught, and then you're mixing it in with the same nature of man, laws of nature and nature's God. So you're going to get the same mistakes and the same evil leaders and then good leaders, and so it's very similar to the children of Israel story, but it is on a fair analysis of all the other nations in the history of the world and all the other nations that exist even today. There's nothing close to the American story and the positive impact that it's had on the world. So anyway, I didn't mean to go off that long on that question, but it's a great question, man. I really appreciate you calling in and asking that question. I don't know that we've ever even talked much about manifest destiny here on the program because it's a term that's been lost over the years and rarely used or talked about or much history given on it. But that would be my take on it. There's probably some experts out there that have dug a little deeper into the weeds, specifically on the use of it or even the first time it was used in American history. But again, I think it's even whoever actually coined it the first time, I would argue, would be paraphrasing even John Winthrop or Thomas Paine or others throughout our history that couched that concept of the American people really have been called by God and really have been a blessing to the world. Ronald Reagan used to do this really, really well. He would talk about it. He had this great speech, lots of great speeches, but he had this great speech when the Statue of Liberty had been worked on and repaired, and it was being reopened, he talked about the lamp beside the golden door, and he just had all these great phrases in there. But he talked about the fact that in that speech and in other speeches that he really did believe that this place is special, that it was placed here by God, that even this continent was designed by God to be discovered by people that would bring those values to this land, and that it would become the city on a hill, and that it would become a blessing to the rest of the world. And there's just no doubt that it has. And now we have our flaws. Absolutely. Guess what? America is still led by humans. Yep. Guess what? We've got people throughout our history that were humans, so they were flawed. And so we have our ups and downs, just like the children of Israel did in the Old Testament. And, you know, anybody intellectually honest enough to tell the whole story has to say at the end of the day, America has been a blessing to the world. Okay, let's see if we can get another call in before we go to break. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. Let's see. We got Todd in Alabama, heading over to Alabama. Roll Tide. I was just there. We did an event in Mobile for Flashpoint a couple weeks ago. Had a great time. It was my mama's hometown. So I went back to Alabama for the first time in a while. Todd, go ahead, man. You're up next.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm in the northwest part, so unfortunately I did not get to see you.
But
I love your show. I love the Patriot Academy. I've got an idea, and you're the only one that could probably pull it off.
Oh, I love it. Let's hear it. Hey, wait, Todd, before you give me your idea, help my geography here. So northwest Alabama would be like what town? What would be the big cities there?
Cherokee is where I live, about 14 miles from the state line. Muscle Shoals, Florence. 75 cool. miles west of Huntsville.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Gotcha. All right. So tell me your idea.
All right. What if we took the great names that got our Constitution going, the Jeffersons, the Adams, somewhere down the line? I'm an Adams, so I'm supposed to be related to the two presidents. But
nice.
What if you got each of these guys, Thomas Jefferson, when was he born? What got him to where he became president? What got him to be the founder, one of the founders and creators of the Constitution? Spend a half hour or half a podcast on what got him there, and then spend the other half. What would he do if he was alive today in 2025? What would he say about what his part was, whether it was, you know, getting rid of slavery or getting rid of, you know, double taxation, whatever their special.
Yeah. Whatever their big thing was, even like with him, Louisiana Purchase. I mean, that would tie into that manifest destiny idea that we were just talking about too. But, yeah, you know, History Channel's done a few things like that. There's been some efforts, and then there's been some that have, you know, dramatized it and unfortunately inserted all the Hollywood debauchery and reframed in a negative way the image of the Founding Fathers. And we're actually, believe it or not, we're working on a series right now. I can't say much about it yet, but we're working on some things like that. And then we also did our Chasing American Legends series where we investigate some of those folks. And we did that 10 years ago, and we're doing a new version of that where my kids are actually, now that they're all grown and they're part of that, you know, early 20s. You know, debate right now in their generation over whether or not America is a great nation. They're going to do a new series of Chasing American Legends. So we've got a few things kind of close to what you're talking about, but I couldn't agree more that their stories need to be told. You know, Todd, there's a great quote from Ronald Reagan where he says, if we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. And if we don't tell the stories of what we did, what these heroes did, just like you're saying with Jefferson, like tell the whole story. I mean, how does this guy end up at 33 years old writing arguably the most important political document in the history of mankind? I mean, how does he get to that point at 33 to be the guy that Adams would know this is the guy that needs to write it? Like John Adams was the force behind it all and behind the scenes making the deals and doing everything he could to bring it about. But he knew that Jefferson needed to be the one not only to write it, but to present it with that committee of five that you were hearing about on the break. You know, what are the things in his life that brought him to that point? Because I think what's cool is if you tell those stories, then people get inspired to actually do something similar in their life. In other words, if you know just how you know, what the things in their, and not only the good things in their life that brought them to that point of writing the Declaration or becoming president or whatever, but the bad things in their life. Again, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What were the tragedies in their life that, that shaped them and made them go that direction? I love that stuff, man. I think telling those stories is critical. And I think that's what really set David Barton apart with the launching of Wall Builders when he started going around the country 40 years ago. Nearly, wow, yeah, it is almost 40 years ago. With his slide projector thing, you know, the little turnstile things with the, I can't remember what you call them, not slides, but the little project against the wall. You hear the every time between slides. When he started doing that, what was he doing? He was telling the stories, just like what you're talking about. He was bringing history to life. And then when he started putting out those presentations, and for me, that was the jumping off point, man. It changed my whole interest and changed the trajectory of my life. I mean, when I put a cassette tape in and listen to David Barton tell the stories through the eyes of the people that experienced it, it rocked my world. I mean, for a guy that hated history and government, it became my life. And now for 30 years, that's all we've done. So I couldn't agree more, man. I think we need more and more of that. I think we're going to see more and more of that. And I know we at Patriot Academy and American Family Association and Wall Builders, we're working on things that will bring those stories to life. Great call. Appreciate it. We got more calls coming up when we come back from the break. Phone number is 888-589-8840. If you'd like to chime in with your comments, questions, or insults, 888-589-8840. Rick Green filling in for Walker Wildman. You are listening to At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, filling in for Walker today. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to this week, normally Tuesday and Thursday. And Walker's normally with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we're somewhat back to normal next week, I believe. Phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm in Indiana. We're making the interior, all of the wood, the chandeliers, the tables, the chairs, the paneling, the you name it, the doors, all that good stuff for Independence Hall. So we're rebuilding Independence Hall. As we rebuild liberty philosophically, politically, spiritually, all those things in the country, we're physically rebuilding the cradle of liberty, Independence Hall, at the Patriot Academy campus. So you'll be able to come do a Constitution class in Independence Hall, stay over and do a Patriot Experience where you get to be a legislator for a couple of days and really learn how a constitutional republic works from the inside out. And if you want, do a handgun defense class as well. We really want to make sure that people are not victims, that they're able to defend themselves and actually live out the Second Amendment, which means being able to protect your family in the moment should a wolf come knocking at your door, which happens, 4 to 6 million times a year. In America, there are violent crimes. So you want to be prepared, not ever operating out of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And always, as Proverbs teaches us, to not be the fool or the simpleton that walks blindly on and suffers the consequences, but instead be the wise person that foresees danger and takes precaution. Okay, let's get back to the phones. 888-589-8840 is our phone number today. We've been talking about everything from Manifest Destiny. That's the first time I think we've talked about that. To what you can do to be a part of rebuilding liberty. Make sure you go to patriotacademy.com today and get signed up as a Constitution host or coach. To literally put your hands in the mix here at markadams.com, the Mark Adams School, markadams.com, where we're actually physically making those things that will help us to rebuild liberty. Let's head over to, is that Oregon? Jane in Oregon. Thanks for calling in. I don't know how often I get calls from Oregon, or is that Oklahoma? I don't have my glasses on. Go ahead.
It's Oregon.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in from Oregon.
Right. I listen to you guys a lot whenever I'm not too busy elsewhere, but I've just been thinking about how when the left does their things, even though it's like Nazi-esque things that Hitler did to grab power, it kind of frightens me. But they get all this adulation for being horrible.
Hmm.
They just get all kinds of support and stuff like that. I don't think our guys get that. I mean, even Trump, I don't think he gets the support that he deserves for fighting through. I mean, the guy's like iron. Anyway, I remember a movie called Death and the Maiden where the bad guy at the end of the movie explains how when he came in to his position, he wanted to be the good guy. He wanted to, you know, make things better and help and all this kind of good stuff. But he found it was so hard to be the good guy and so easy just to join all the other bad guys and take what you can get that he just gave in. And I think that that we ought to figure out some way to support our people so that they don't do that. So they know we're out here, we're watching, we're quiet maybe, but what can you say?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you some very specific things you can do and that everybody listening can do, because I agree. I mean, we've got a lot of victories happening right now that some people don't know about. We've got some challenges that we need to plug people into. We have this incredible opportunity over the next year with the 250th to teach people about the Declaration as they're, you know, saying we're going to celebrate the 250th of the Declaration. They got to know what it is and what those principles are. President's going to be bringing attention to it. I mean, so we got this incredible opportunity. We got these victories that are happening. How do we equip and educate and inspire more Americans out there that might be sitting at home and not knowing this stuff is going on? And so I would challenge everybody that's listening right now to do what we call the 2-2-2. Number one, you got to start spending 2 hours of your life a week engaging in this stuff. Be a part of being a force multiplier. Invite people over to your home, you know, or go to lunch with people and start talking about it. I mean, these sound so basic, and it's not, you know, it's not going to change 10 million people overnight, but it's 5 people here, 10 people there. Become a Constitution host or coach and have an excuse 4 weeks in a row as we launch on July 4th to get people in your living room or at your church or wherever, local restaurant, get the back office or, you know, back dining room. But get people together and ask these questions and start talking about how do we make sure, you know, we're going to be dead and gone. How do we make sure after we're dead and gone, if the Lord tarries, that our kids and our grandkids get to live in the same level of freedom that we had, or even better, and that they don't fall prey to the Marxist agenda that would love to take over America. So I would say the answer is you. The answer is the people that right now are listening to my voice, that you multiply yourself by doing simple stuff. You don't have to have any background in this. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know every detail of the Constitution or the Declaration. You don't have to know how all the political stuff works. You just got to be willing. You got to be able. God equips the called. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. And so be willing to say, hey, I'm gonna do 2 hours a week. I'm going to open up my home. I'm going to put on some coffee, make a little cake or whatever, put out the cookies, and I'm going to invite 3 or 4 couples over or friends or whatever, and we're going to watch the Rebuilding Liberty Constitution class that Patriot Academy is launching this year on July 4th of 2025. And we're going to do our part. We're going to put, you know, 10 people through it. And I promise you, I know this in my knower, I promise you, after having conducted 10,000 classes over the last few years, I know what will happen. Those people that you invite over, there's going to be a significant chunk of them, if not all of them, that by the end of the class are going to be saying, I'm in. What can we do next? Now, how do we live this out in our community? What do we do to turn the school board around? What do we do to influence the legislature? I mean, you're there in Oregon. I mean, you've got real challenges there with a left-wing, you know, governor and a left-wing legislature, but most of the state is conservative. You've got all these conservative areas of Oregon that are being dominated because of Portland. And so you've got good opportunities there to bring people together and educate them on this stuff. So that's number one. Do the 2-2-2. The first two is 2 hours a week inviting people over. The second two is your fortune. You're going to have to invest some of your fortune. So the Declaration of Independence is signed by 56 guys saying, I will pledge to each other, to you other guys in the room, my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor. So life is your time, 2 hours a week. Your fortune, I'm not asking people to give it all. I'm not asking you to empty the bank account or any of that stuff. I'm asking you to find something there in your community or your state that you can invest 2% of your fortune. So if you've got, you know, a savings account with $100,000 in it right now, I'm asking you to take $2,000 and donate it to either candidates in your area, donate it to American Family Radio, donate it to Patriot Academy, split it up among some of these ministries and people that you know have gotten results. You know, for us, it's 25 years of Patriot Academy. American Family, it's nearly 40 years. Wall Builders is nearly 40 years. I mean, these are people that have been in the trenches and proven ourselves to be good stewards of the money, good stewards of the opportunities, good staff, good people, already generational. I mean, think about the Wildlands. You got how often do you see ministries fall apart because they don't pass the torch well? But here you got with American Family, you've got a ministry that has gone from Don Wildman to Tim Wildman, now being handed down to Walker and Wesley and the whole family involved and all these other people. I mean, that is the way to do it. At Wallbuilder, same thing. David Barton and Cheryl passing it down to Tim and Gabby and how well they are now stewarding and leading Wallbuilders. Patriot Academy already being passed down to Trey and Alexandra Green and to Reagan and Faith Green and to Cameron and Rhett Green, and they're already leading the way and leading the charge. I just say all that because those we don't see enough of that. And so when you invest your 2%, look for ministries that have been around and that are doing that handoff well so that you know your investment's going to last for generations. So 2 hours a week, 2% of your wealth, 2% of your fortune, and if you don't have a big savings account, just take 2% of your monthly income. If you're making, you know, $2,000 a month right now, we're only talking about $40. Take $40 of your $2,000 and give it to a local candidate or donate it to, you know, become a 1776er for Patriot Academy. That's only $17.76. Or do your $40 a month to American Family Association. Find somebody that you can sow into to multiply the liberty efforts that are happening. And then the last part of my answer, long answer to your question, sorry about that, is your sacred honor. That's your reputation. That's your willingness to put your reputation on the line by standing up and saying, this is true, this is right, that's wrong. I'm gonna stand my ground. I'm gonna draw a line in the sand. And one of the easy ways to do that is social media, just sharing whatever we're posting on American Family Radio or on Patriot Academy or even my personal one, Texas Rick Green or Wall Builders or whoever. Find some people that are standing up for freedom and share their posts at least twice a week. That's the third two, okay? So 2, 2, 2. 2 hours a week of your life, 2% of your fortune, and two posts a week that put your sacred honor on the line. You do the 2, 2, 2 yourself, and you tell other people to do it, and we'll save this country. It's that simple. It's not a situation where everybody's got to give everything. You just got to rebuild the walls next to your home. You just got to give a little bit of your life, fortune, sacred honor. And if enough of us do that, we don't even need everybody. We basically need about 3% of the country to do this. And I believe that's the turning point. That's when we really save the nation for our kids and our grandkids. 3%. That's part of the reason our whole rebuilding liberty effort over the next 400 and now we're down to 402 days. This whole rebuilding liberty effort is to put 5 million informed patriots through the Rebuilding Liberty course. Now, we've already put 1 million through Biblical Citizenship, which is essentially the longer version of Rebuilding Liberty. So we really only have 4 million to go. 4 million people through the course. We've got a goal of 10,000 candidates to flood the zone with good candidates for office. We've done about 1,000 of those. We need 9,000 more. So we got 1 million informed patriots so far. We need 4 million more. We got about 30,000 Constitution coaches and Constitution hosts. We need 70,000 more. And so 100,000 coaches, 5 million informed patriots, 10,000 candidates, and 5,000 celebrations on July 4th, 2026. If we do those four things, we're going to save America. And we can do those four things if you, listening to me right now, if you do the 2-2-2. That's all we're asking from you. We're asking you to do 2 hours a week, 2% of your fortune, and two posts that you share per week for your sacred honor. That's it. That's it, folks. Come on. Every single one of us can do that. All right, let's get back to the phones. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. 888-589-8840. Only got a few minutes left. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in. Wayne in Kentucky, you're up next. I was just at a table saw talking to a guy from Indiana, but drives across the street to Kentucky. Go ahead, Wayne. Sorry. You're up next.
That's okay. We border the Hoosiers and the Wildcats. Great to talk with you, Rick. Appreciate you taking my call. Love your program. You cover so much in an amazing way. I have an I wish And all it is that, and it's probably asking President Trump to be not President Trump. And that is, he has won. We're several months into his second term. He's knocked it out of the park in so many ways. And I wish he would chill just a little bit on his rhetoric toward the other side nowadays. I hope he's not still, I know this is what politicians do, but I hope he's not still doing this on the eve of the next election, whether it's midterm or the next presidential election. I hope we're not still just hammering Biden, especially Biden. I mean, you know, for lots of reasons, but also just the other side. And believe me, I wanted HW to be way more assertive, so I can't be satisfied, I guess you would say. But you see what I mean? But
yeah.
Gee whiz, he's just so harsh to the opposition and all his tweets and that sort of thing. So that's I just wondered if you had any.
Wayne, I agree there's a balance, and I think there will come a time where there's a shift in the rhetoric. I'm not sure I agree that it's time now, like that just a three or four, what is it now, 5 months that we're just finishing up. Well, really 4 months of since he came in on January 20th. I think there is a time to continue to remind the American people, because there's so many that don't know how bad it was and don't know just how close we came to losing the nation to Marxism. So I would argue we're not quite to the place where he should let up on the verbal body slamming of the other side. I think they need more of it. And frankly, I probably will not agree that he should back off until there are prosecutions and some of these people are actually in jail. Because the rhetoric is not enough. I think unless Anthony Fauci goes to prison, you're going to end up with another, radical leftist bureaucrat that with a God complex that puts the nation in the same turmoil that it was in under Pope Fauci as the leader of the COVID cult. I think he's got to go to prison. I think if you don't put the people that use the auto pen to commit treason against this country by having a coup in the White House while the president was completely out to lunch, it's going to happen again. And so I think the rhetoric needs to stay for a while longer. But I agree with you. There's a point at which you can shift to mourning in America again and not have to continue to talk about what they did. But I just don't think we're there yet. I think you've got to keep putting the nails in the coffin because, man, we were so close to losing this nation. So anyway, we'll see. Maybe I'll change my tune in a few weeks. Maybe I'll reach that point that you're at, but I'm not there yet. All right, folks, Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. I've been filling in for Walker today. Thanks for staying with me and listening. One more show for me tomorrow, and then Walker will be back with you on Friday. Have a fantastic evening. You have been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.